Hi there, it's Lerald from WoW at Night, and you're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Oh, I just thought of the perfect joke to tell Anduin.
And Daryl.
Oh, he's gonna love it!
All right. Greetings and welcome to episode 210 of The Training Dummies. You wouldn't believe it's 210 episodes with all the trouble we had starting this one. Oh, but anyway, we're recording this one on May 31st, 2018. My name is Daryl, and with me as always is Rob. How are you doing this evening, Rob?
I love that intro, man. That was the best. I think it almost snuck by for a minute, but that was beautiful, dude. I love it.
All right. Well, what we're talking about tonight is Anduin. And we brought one of our favorite lore experts and guests that we've had on in the past to discuss that with us. So let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to Katie from the Torn and the Goblin.
Today. Oh, man, I didn't set up my my air horn.
Uh-oh.
Well, that was the best intro anyway, so I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Vocal air horns. What could I ask for?
Yeah.
There you go.
Katie, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me back.
So when we talked to you last, we were talking about druids, and evidently there was enough magic in the air. I've been playing my druid a bit lately, a pretty good bit, actually. So yeah, it's good, and we loved it so much. We had such a great response that when we were talking about doing some more lore episodes, that Daryl was like, oh, I already know who to talk to. So thank you so much for coming back again.
Well, thank you guys. I am very happy to be back, and I'm glad I didn't deter you with all of the lore that was coming out of my mouth last time. So.
No, it was good.
There was a certain amount of hype that went on that I know. You know, there was some sort of like peace, love, and hippies and trees and druidness that was going on that we were like, wow, druids are all right, huh? So, yeah. Yeah.
I've conferred with you. I'm happy.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, well, close. Still happy.
Haters gonna hate, I guess. Right?
Although I am currently planning to use my boost on a Zandalari druid. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes when it gets there, because I still haven't used it yet. So
I feel like...
Dinosaurs.
I know.
Like that's going to be a while, right?
Yeah, it is.
Before that's even a thing. Like, there's going to be a bunch of rep and a bunch of... I don't know. Is it going to be like patch 8.2 before that finally comes out or something?
Yeah, something like that. But I've got nothing else to use it on anyway, so it's not like there's anything else I really want to boost at the moment. So I can save it. I'm good.
We were talking a little bit beforehand about using boosts and whatnot. I've already used mine. I used it on a Void Elf monk and raided a little bit on that with Ron on his Alliance side team.
Nice.
I don't regret that at all. I do think that the Kirin Tor druids look kind of freaking awesome, and that would have been cool to have one of those, but I don't know. It's good. That's in the bank. It's done already. I'm not buying another boost. I don't know.
Yeah, like that's expensive.
You know, once you see the Alliance side once, you're pretty well. You're done. You don't really need anything else. Katie, why don't you? It's been a little bit. Since we were doing the Stay Classy series, why don't you give us just a little bit of catch us up? How's it been going? What have you been?
It's been really good. I have been playing a lot on my druid, but I've also been playing a lot on my resto shaman. And I've always loved my resto shaman, which is a goblin. And I love my goblins, for those of you that don't know. But I finally got into raiding, so I got to see a bunch of that kind of lore. I've been doing a lot of PvP, which is really unusual, but I need that artifact skin. So I've been enjoying a lot of different parts of Warcraft, which has been really great. And I got into the beta, so I'm like trying not to spoil too much, but I'm also playing a lot of it. So loving that.
I mainly wanted to get in and just see like some of the what the global cooldown stuff felt like. I was kind of wanting to do it to maybe lean into what I would be playing for Battle for Azeroth. As of right now, I don't have a reason to do anything different than a demon hunter. They're just too good. They're too fun. The mobility, the
yeah, that's nice.
Burst, man, it's just like, yeah, it's all good.
Hmm. The new DK babies.
Pretty much, huh? The
yep.
new hero class. What do you think you're going to be? Are you leaning towards anything for BFA?
Probably going to be my Resto Shaman, just because I love him. Yeah,
nice.
I've been playing him since Kata, so he's my baby. Besides my Hunter that I started on, that
so,
is Alliance.
Yeah, well, we'll forgive you for that.
I was going to say, she doesn't get enough love these days, so.
Now Daryl just completely abandoned Shaman and never looked back because of some changes that happened around, what was it, Warlords era?
With
Resto in particular,
yes.
Right? But you have stayed true, Katie, with the Resto Shaman. Do you feel like the whole having to weave in, what the heck was that?
Elemental Burst, Elemental Blast. Is that what it was? Elemental Blast, that's what it was.
Yeah, do you feel like that really just kind of... did that hurt Resto Shaman, or was that okay? Or
I don't know. Like, I didn't play a ton of Resto in Draenor, so I mostly came back after all of the changes that happened tail end of Legion. So I'm like, it's very different from what I remember playing extensively when I played at tail end of Pandaria really hardcore. Mm-hmm. And so going between the two, it was like, there's a huge difference in how I'm supposed to play this class now. But as for the Elemental Burst, like, I'm kind of like, okay, like, I'm just getting a feel for it after coming back to it for so long. I'm like, I've kind of just like readjusted. I'm like, it's not horrible, but I feel like if I had played it consistently, I probably would have been like, what is this garbage? And then left it for a while and came back. So,
all right, that's good. That's fair.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm indifferent because I love my shaman, but that's pretty much it, I guess.
Although, to be fair,
I
didn't completely abandon it because I did heal our raid on Friday with my Resto Shaman.
I wasn't there, so it didn't happen. I was watching Solo, which, by the way, was so good.
Sunday. Planning
if you
Sunday.
Don't like Solo, you can fight me, because that was just beautiful. Loved it. So
nice.
No spoilers.
All right.
I know we got a lot to get into. Daryl, do you have any other...
No, I don't think so. I think ready to jump into this.
All right. Well, if you have any questions or comments or want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter. I was going to say Twitter. Wow. The show is at Trading Dummies. I'm at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl_TTD. And also, if you like the show, you'd like to support us, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. I always want to say the, but no. It's patreon.com/trainingdummies. No obligations, of course. We're just happy that you listen.
Wait, what? What do you mean there's lore in this game? You guys actually paid someone to write a story about Raynor meeting Diablo?
We should swap stories sometime.
My story mirrors that of all orcs, a tale of savagery and redemption. Perhaps one day I shall tell it to you.
Clearly you haven't heard my story.
Oh, yes. I have many, many stories to tell. Would you like to hear one? $9.95 per minute.
All right.
I don't think Katie's going to charge us tonight. Maybe.
I hope not.
That bumper is the best. I love that so much.
All right, so we're going to talk Anduin tonight, because the two central figures so far that they have put forward for Battle for Azeroth is Anduin and Sylvanas. And we're actually going to be talking Sylvanas next week. But this week is Anduin. So I have never played Alliance, like ever. I used a boost once. I think it was the level 90 boost for a... Worgen Warlock that I might have 30 minutes playtime on. Uh-huh. So I don't know, like, any of the Anduin story that comes from the game, except what I've heard in, like, outside sources. So all I about know, or all I like, basically know about Anduin is he started in Vanilla, and he was, like, the boy mm-hmm. king in Stormwind. But I never saw him there. I've just heard about it.
Okay. That's what I'm here to talk about, because
nice.
I have actually, as I told you guys in the pre-show, I've kind of separated this by expansions, because in some expansions he's more relevant, in some he's not. Like, when mm-hmm. he's younger, he doesn't do as much. But before we deep dive, I thought I had a couple, like, a small little list of interesting factoids about Anduin that I thought I'd go through real quick.
Oh, cool.
All right.
So, King Anduin Lane Rin. So that's his full name. He's the son of Tiffin and Varian. For those of you that don't know, Tiffin was Varian's late wife who died in a riot. And Anduin has actually been in the lore since before Vanilla. Surprise. Anduin is named after both his grandfather, King Laenrin, and Anduin Lothar, which are both big lore characters. Anduin, fun fact, has actually been crowned king twice, currently and then once when he was a child. We can get into that in a moment as well. Everyone seems to think Anduin is also a paladin. He's actually a priest, even though he wears plate armor and wields a giant sword, which is his father's Shalamane. It's kind of confusing, but, you know, we did that giant massive res.
Did someone report him for hacking?
Right?
Right? Like, that's sounds not like he's fair. Hacking the game. Someone needs to report him. Yeah, priest wearing plate. Priest wearing
you
plate.
You can't mass res in combat.
Right? Like no, that. I mean the world of Warcraft.
Right.
I was going to say the South Park episode comes to mind where it's like, hex! So another fun fact about Anduin is that he's only 18 years of old as far, like when we start Battle for Azeroth. So he's actually the youngest faction leader to date, which is kind of surprising. I thought he'd be in his 20s, but he's not quite there yet, according to lore as we know it.
Right.
And then another fun fact, for those of you who are on the Horde that don't see this part of Anduin, in one of the books, The Shattering, he actually becomes friends with Bane Bloodhoof. Excuse me. Uh-huh. A little tongue-tied. So Bane is the Tauren faction leader. Mm-hmm. So they're actually good friends. They have a cool bonding moment. You should check out The Shattering for more like really in-depth stuff on that. But Anduin makes a lot of friends. He has a lot of friends on both sides, which was actually kind of nice. So that's my quick little summation.
He like kind of in some sort of awkward way made friends with Garrosh during the post Pandaria stuff, right?
In War Crimes.
He could have prevented warlords.
Yes.
I don't like Anduin for that reason alone. He could have prevented warlords.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he could have. We'll get into that.
What?
Sure. I remember that because I did read The Shattering, so I remember that.
We're done.
Everyone's like, I hate Anduin now. No thanks. I'm like, okay. Oh no.
So you said like right now, then with some of the trailers that we saw leading into Battle for Azeroth, he's 18.
Yes.
I guess like at first I'm like, what the heck, man? Why would you put this kid in charge? But that's probably typical for, you know, this type of setting, you know, when the mantle is passed. Mm-hmm. If you're old enough, you're old enough. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 28, you know, like it's fine. They don't go, well, I'll give it to Greyman instead because he's just a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, there was actually a point in which actually this is kind of comes about in the vanilla bit where Varian goes missing. So I guess I can kind of segue into the vanilla part.
Yeah.
All right. So for those of you that played during vanilla, you might remember if you played Alliance at all, Varian Wrynn was not really around. Like, I think he might have been around in the first patch, but he might not have been. So Anduin was on the throne, and he, at this point, he was actually crowned king because Varian went missing. Varian went missing because he was on the way to do a peace summit that Anduin had actually kind of bugged him about. He's like, Anduin's like, you should go to this peace summit in Theramore. This is right after the events of Warcraft 3 when Daylan Proudmoore is killed. Mm-hmm. And Anduin urges Varian to go, and Varian's like, all right, I guess I'll go to this peace talk with the Horde. Like, I'll kind of find out what they're about. Yada, yada. When Varian goes, he actually gets kidnapped by the Delvias Brotherhood, and he goes missing for a long period of time, and no one knows where he is. So they're like, we need a king in the interim. So Anduin is crowned king, but then Bolvar Forddragon is kind of his Lord Regent. So Bolvar has the official like say of the throne, but Anduin is the placeholder king.
Got it. All right.
Anduin's only 10 at this point, so he's very young. But then as the story progresses, we find out that Lady Prestor, which some people may or may not know as Anixia, mm-hmm. is the one that's kind of pulling the strings behind the throne. And one day Varian shows up, and they're like, oh, hey, Varian, how did you get here? And he starts acting all weird. And through this long plot, they find out that Varian has been split in two. And so there's Logosh the warrior and Varian. And Anixia reveals herself and steals Anduin away. He's like, ah, ha, ha, you have to come get him now. And then through fighting Anixia, both Varians are merged back into one. They defeat Anixia. The kingdom's happy. Everyone rejoices and goes home. So that's kind of the vanilla plot line in uh-huh. a very surmised format.
I like it. Okay, yeah, the bite size. Yeah, gotcha.
Yes.
All right, Anduin's dad gets ripped in half. Or into yep. two. And not in half, but into two.
Well, into two separate beings.
See, I didn't even... Like, I've heard snippets of this throughout the years, but I never really quite understood what happened until, like, 2 weeks ago when I finished reading Chronicle 3, when they kind of went mm-hmm. through that. See, I've been playing since release, but I've never played Alliance. Like, I really mean that, so I had no idea that any of this stuff had actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of how, like, the whole Onyxia dungeon came to be and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And for any of those that are interested, like, there's so much there, it's... I feel like my summation is horrible, but listening to all of Onyxia's politics and all of the things, all the manipulation she does is really great. So if anyone's interested in that,
I could probably make that whole thing just a little bit worse by saying that I believe I got the Onyxia mount on like my second or third try. So
I remember just go ahead.
That's really important.
Yeah, so you've got some luck with those mounts.
Think about that. For okay.
I don't even want to talk about how many times I went in there. So green with envy.
All right. Sure.
All right. Well, I guess if moving on from vanilla, Anduin isn't really in the lore much. Like game wise, he gets he doesn't get much of an update, but he's no longer, you know, King Anduin. He's Prince Anduin. I think his title changes officially. And it's either BC or Wrath at some point. And really the only like major point that he plays is that in the pre-patch for Wrath, he defends Stormwind from some of the Scourge invasions. So you're like, oh, that's cool, Anduin, like, way to go, because apparently he's good with bow and arrow, which was, they were like, they mentioned that many times. I'm like, I guess that's kind of important.
It's a very priest-like
quality. So he's a priest that's using hunter weapons now too. Man, mm-hmm. someone needs to report this guy. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
So maybe he's really a hunter, because yeah. everything's yeah. a hunter weapon. So
yeah, he needs reported.
Hacks. There is no hybrid classes, so I think Shady's going on.
He's cheating.
I mean, as if we ever get shadow hunters, maybe we can get light hunters. So that'd be cool, right?
I'd accept that.
There you go.
All right. So the next big time that we see Anduin is in pre-Cataclysm. And from here, he starts to become more of an important figure because he's starting to get a little older. He's starting to kind of take the mantlehood of being the prince a little more seriously. Mm-hmm. So the next time we see him, at least as canonically, is in the book The Shattering. And this one's kind of neat because we start to see him conflict with Varian a little bit more, where, you know, Varian is very like, I'm a warrior, and Anduin's like, yay, peace, love, and all that. I probably shouldn't have been so cut and dry with that, but that's how their personalities kind of meet, where Anduin, kind of like Jaina was before, where he advocates peace and he doesn't really like fighting, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, Varian being his father and being the, like, oh, I'm a warrior, gonna smash things with a hammer instead of talk things out. And he's like, okay, Anduin, I'm gonna send you to Ironforge for a diplomatic mission. And Anduin's like, really? And then when he gets to Ironforge, he finds out that it's really, like, his father sent him there because he wants the dwarves to toughen him up, not because he wants him to actually go and learn from the dwarves. So Anduin's not happy about it, but he's like, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. And while he's in Ironforge, he actually learns about the light and being a priest. And that's kind of where we first get the priest Anduin glimpses. He gets very interested in the ways of the priest and learning the tenets of the light and that sort of stuff. And while he's there, he also sees Magni get turned into the Diamond King, which is kind of scarring for him. He's like, holy crap, you know, we were just doing this really cool ceremony in, I think it's Old Ironforge, which he's like one of the first mm-hmm. humans to go into Old Ironforge. And he's like, oh my gosh, he got turned into Diamond. And then they have a big funeral for him and all that. But at the funeral, it's the kind of the first time where Anduin meets the other faction leaders. So it's kind of a big moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later from that book, we have Wolfheart. And this is where, in the beginning, all of the Worgens are starting to gather in Darnassus. And Anduin meets Vale in there again, and they have this really in-depth conversation about the light and kind of like teachings and that sort of stuff. And it gets interrupted a few times, but Valen ultimately is like, hey, you know, you seem really into the light. This seems like a good thing for you. You seem like you have this really important path or future. you know, you should come with me and we should study. And so Andamund's like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And he goes to tell his father about it. And his dad's like, no, you can't do that. That's girly sissy stuff. And Andamund does it anyway. but yeah, so from there, he goes to study with the Drane for a while. There's a small rebellion on the Exodar. And because Valen is so like, oh my gosh, the Burning Legion's coming. And he's not focusing on his people. So Anduin has this cool little banter with him where he helps refocus him in the present. They resolve it, and Anduin and Valen become quite a bit closer through that encounter. So after that, the last notable thing that happens in the pre-cataclysm is Anduin returns home for a brief amount of time. And then when him and his father kind of reunite, they reunite at the grave of his mother and get ambushed by Twilight cultists. And when that happens, Varian becomes gravely injured. So he's like, oh, you know, I'm dying and bleeding out. And Anduin's able to call upon the light that he's started to use. And he just like basically mass reses his father. And that's kind of the first stamp of like Anduin being, you know, a super priest. And we're like, oh my goodness, he has crazy powers. he's Madan 2.0.
I have a question about Wolfheart, because that's one of the books I haven't read.
Sure.
That takes place before Cataclysm as well?
I think, or is it part of it? Maybe it's like, so technically it takes place before Cataclysm, because like the Worgen crisis happens. Well, like it's kind of in between there. So like the Worgen are at Darnassus and they're pleading for help. So because it's tough, right? Because you're like, oh, as a Worgen character, you live through the intro, but then also you go to Darnassus for the summit. So it's like kind of a mix. Because okay. I think of them as like once you can recruit them, that's the intro to Cataclysm. So yeah, it's like pre-Cata, right around, but also okay. during Cata.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
It pretty much leads into most of Cata there.
Okay. So there was basically, so there was like two books leading up to Cataclysm, because there was a Shattering.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay.
There's Wolfheart, and then, no, I think that's it. So I always get Wolfheart mixed up with another one, but which is the Malfurion one.
Oh, Stormrage.
Stormrage, yes. And I think that one's also technically a pre-Cataclysm book.
Oh, so. Yeah, it was. It kind of was too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. But okay. there's a lot of those books. I need to reread them. It's been a little bit since I get them a little mixed up between Wolfheart and Stormrage, but they're all good. So people all right. should read them.
I've read Stormrage. And now that I think about it, I think I've read The Shattering, but I'm starting mm-hmm. to question that. So I don't know. I'm going to have to check. If I own it, I've read it. So I'll have to look and see if I have it.
Yeah. I haven't read a lot of those. I have good intentions. And then, yeah.
Say, so, are you going to read the one that's coming out in June in a couple weeks here?
I'm going to see if I can. I just do so much better with audiobooks.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
When the Tomb of Sargeras audio drama, and then the
those were so
and
good.
And then the Velen or the Tyrellion and
Thousand Years of War. Yeah, that was good too.
When those came out, man, like that's just so rad. It's so easy for me to just do that on my commute, But yeah. So, yes. To answer your question, yes. But hopefully I can just, get it in audiobook.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I know they're making an audiobook format because I totally haven't thought about pre-ordering that, too. That'd be ridiculous. Who does that?
Cool people.
I have pre-ordered the book, though. I have done that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's a Christie Golden book, so you're kind of like, yeah. I mean, you can't really go wrong.
I'll probably still be reading it when I'm in Mexico in July.
I'll probably still be reading it when they announce the next expansion.
There you go.
We'll do a lore summary for you.
Then we'll have Katie back on to explain the book.
You have 5 minutes.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. So we're. So what are we heading into?
So Cataclysm starts.
Cata era.
Heals. Yes. He heals Varian.
Yes.
All right.
So that's kind of, the last time we see him before a cataclysm starts. And actually, the next time we see him, I mean, he has like some quests and things like that, but they're kind of like, I'm the prince. And you're like, hi, prince. It's not very exciting. in my opinion, it's not very exciting stuff. But the next time we see his character, again, is another Christine Golden book that you guys might be familiar with, Tides of War, which this covers... The mana bomb dropping on Theramore,
right,
and
right.
like all the fallout from that. Uh-huh. And so in the book, Anduin hears of Theramore's destruction, and he immediately returns home from his training with Valen, because he went back after the whole thing with Varian to continue his training. And so after he comes back, you know, he meets Jaina and he sees her and she, you know, he's like, how are you doing? What's going on? And she's, you know, she's completely different right now because she's in shock. She's angry. She's grieving. She's going through all those really difficult emotions after losing her home. And she starts calling for war against the orcs, and Anduin is just like, what are you doing? Like, this has never been what you're about. I don't understand. Like, mm-hmm. I know you're grieving and I know you're going mm-hmm. through these tough emotions, but you know, like, this isn't you, Jaina. What's happening? And she tries to convince Varian to go to war and to send all of his troops over and just destroy Orgrimmar. And Varian actually is like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And Anduin's just kind of like in shock off to the side. And she's like, oh, you're cowards. Like, you don't know what's good for you. Like, Anduin, you're just a naive child. Because Anduin tries to pipe up. And he says, you know, I can't imagine everyone in the Horde feels the same. Like, I can't imagine everyone agrees with Garrosh. Because mm-hmm. at this point, you know, he's met Bane. And he's like, Bane is a good guy. And I can't imagine that this sort of thing would happen. It's kind of nice because in the book we get a nice little aside with Varian and Anduin, where we see both of their personalities grow, where Varian has a conversation with Anduin about hatred and how it can really affect people. And he's like, it can really change how someone looks at something and it changes their personality. And it was a very grown-up conversation to have. And Anduin kind of makes this decision that he never wants to fight with hatred in his heart, which I'm like, oh, there's a big, like, another one of those big pointers for Anduin's personality going forward. So that's pretty much it for like the big cataclysm pieces. Next is Pandaria, and this is where the train really starts rolling.
Yeah,
with the Black Prince, Rathion.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, this is when he actually, like, to me, becomes like an interesting character, I guess. So
yes,
all right, roll with it.
Okay,
we've driven past Tom Cruise's house. We saw Will Smith's old house. We're ready for it. We probably weren't recording when I... Yeah,
no, I don't think we were. The pre-show metaphors.
Yeah, good job, Rob. All right. Let's go. Let's go see the big star's house.
All right. So I would also have to agree, because I think Pandaria is where most people actually meet Anduin for the first time, like as the incarnation of Anduin as we kind of know him today. And it's fun because you actually get to interact with him a lot on the Horde side, which is unusual because you're like, who is this kid? Mm-hmm. Like, he's Rin? Like, he's like, do I know that name? Is that that one guy that's in Stormwind I go spit on and lick like twice a month? Is that the same guy? So on the Alliance side, the reason that you're like all the ships are chasing each other is because the White Pawn is Anduin's ship. The White Pawn, that's their code word in Stormwind. They're like, oh, you know, like this prince's fleet has been attacked, and the orcs are like, hey, like there's something to attack. Let's go attack it. And I'm trying to remember if the Horde actually knows that Anduin is on the ship or not. But when they make landfall, eventually the Horde is able to capture Anduin, and Anduin's being a pretty good spirit about it. Like, he's like, okay, like there's like six Horde guys and a bunch of monkey people, and I'm not really sure what's going on, but nobody's hurt me yet. And they're like, oh yeah, like we got the prince now, like we're so good. And I love the Jade Forest, so all the characters out there are my favorite.
Yeah,
Nazgrim's like, ha-ha! Yeah,
that was such a good zone though. Yeah,
it's the best. Like, if you go and talk to some of the NPCs while you have Anduin captured, they're kind of like, yes, we have the king of Stormwind, or not the king, we have the prince of Stormwind, like look how good we are. Nice. And I'm like, yeah, but we're in a Mookie village in the middle of nowhere. Like, Hosen. I should call them Hosen. But Nazgrim makes a jipe. He's like, yeah, the Alliance have allied with these very sophisticated fish people, and we've allied with monkeys. And I'm like, the Hosen are good. They're funny. We like them. So you have Anduin for a period of time. He's very polite to you, which is nice. You can go up and talk to him. If you click on him enough times to bug him, he says stuff to the effect of, like, do you know who my father is? And I'm like, ha 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 ha, click, 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 click. But eventually he escapes, much to all of the Horde's chagrin. And he escapes at the giant serpent's heart battle. So when the giant jade statue gets broken.
Oh, okay, and yeah.
That horrible, like, heart-wrenching scene.
Yeah, so the end of that zone.
Yep.
Yeah.
So once he escapes, you kind of find him again on the Alliance side. And he goes around, he meets the Celestials, which actually kind of have a big impact on him. There's so much here that I can't go into it too much. But he meets the Tiger Celestial and the Crane Celestial. Let's see. Zuin and Chi-Chi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
And so he goes to the Vale of Eternal Blossoms and watches it open, and I know that there's some fighting beforehand, and he helps out with that as well. And then he helps erect the Alliance Shrine from there. We see him again briefly in Lion's Landing, where he meets up with his father, and they have this whole banter about we should attack the Horde. And Anduin's been all over Pandaria by this point. He's like, we need to be really careful because how the Shah affect Pandaria, war could tear this place apart. So he actually understands how Pandaria is. Like, he's mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. familiar with the land and its people, and he's like, Dad, I don't think this is a good idea. And Varian's like, everything's a good idea when you go smash things. I have a very high opinion of Varian.
I see that. So Anduin's just being like way more like sensitive to the culture and to, you know, the, like you said, the mm-hmm. stuff going on with the Shah mm-hmm. and coming in yes. and just taking a dump on everything is not the way to do it.
Well, and to be fair, Varian thinks he's doing the right thing. He's like, oh yes, we will fight with honor in our hearts. And Anduin's like, no, that's still not what I'm talking about here. Oh. And they have a small scenario. I remember it fondly as the scenario where they wreck Tyrande's character, but we won't go into that. So they find a Shah and they start fighting this. It's a bigger Shah. I don't think it's the Shah of Hatred, but it's, you know, it's bigger, powerful Shah. And at the end of it, you know, Jaina and Varian and a couple other diplomats are there, and they're like, oh, you know, we could use the power of the Shah to enhance our troops. And Anduin's like, no, I think this is a horrible idea. Like, yes, we could use it for weapons, but mm-hmm. if we do that, it could kill a lot of people. And this actually becomes important. Like, this whole little arc becomes important in the Divine Bell, which happens next. Because we see Garrosh do the exact opposite.
Why does everybody, like, okay, so just as an outside, like, as sure. as a player, when we get to Pandaria, you're looking around, this stuff is nasty. Yeah. So why does everybody go, yeah, let's, like... Like, let's smoke some of that. That looks awesome. We should do that. And I'm looking at it like, what is wrong with you people? Like, but it's right. so weird that, you know, because I know, you know, Garrosh did that. And that was mm-hmm. like his MO. And that's kind of, you know, the story of Pandaria really is Garrosh doing that. But it's so weird to hear that, that, you know, Varian was just like, hey, this is pretty cool. We should check this out. I'm like, no, dude.
No.
I guess, you know, I guess it really does make, help kind of make the point a little bit that, you know, the Alliance are not the good guys and the Horde are not, you know, there's mm-hmm. bad, there's good and bad in both factions, but it's not just like, you know, the Alliance are good guys. They're not, they're stupid.
We're like, they're not, like, says all three Horde members. Like, yeah, no, the Alliance aren't that great, says all the people talking about the Alliance Prince. Horde bias.
All right, so I butt in there, but.
No, you're good.
All right, so. Yeah, so Anduin's basically going, no, you guys, like, this is pretty awful. We don't, like, we need to yeah. be careful here, mm-hmm. so.
Exactly. So that whole sequence is really cool because, as I said, it kind of leads up to the Divine Bell, which is a huge arc that you don't really get to see as a Horde player. Not
no,
the same
you
way
don't.
You do as
yeah.
an Alliance.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I'm going to say crushing, but then that's a pun and you'll find out in a minute.
Oh, I get so, it. I get it.
Right? Like, for those of you that played it, I'm like, oh, I'm so ashamed
yeah.
of myself.
Yeah, that was rough. All right.
But yeah, so in the Divine Bell arc, for those of you that haven't played it or maybe are a little rusty, there's this Mogu artifact called the Divine Bell. And essentially what it does is it infuses, like, your warriors with Shah energy, which is a horrible idea, as we've all kind of come to discover if you play mm-hmm. through Pandaria. It's just ucky and nasty. So we find out that Garrosh has snuck the Divine Bell through Dalaran from its hiding place in Darnassus, which is kind of why that's the thing that led Jaina to kick all of the
oh my gosh, I remember that.
Out of Dalaran.
That scenario where you have to, as a Horde, you have to go in and steal it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I remember
okay.
that.
Yeah. Man, I forgot. About that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Anduin's like, well, you know, there must be something we can do. And he's like, we've got to find a way to counteract this bell. And so he discovers something called the harmonic mallet. And this mallet is used, or it was used in ancient Pandaren times, to counteract the Mogu's divine bell. And what it does is it turns the bells, like, it turns its I don't really know what to call it. It's resonance into harmony. So like when you smack the bell, it has this horrible noise. And if you hit it with a mallet, it turns into this beautiful harmonious noise that's supposed to counteract all of the effects. The last known person, as they discover, to have the harmonic mallet was the Monkey King. So we, on the Alliance side, you delve into some vaults and you find the Monkey King and his Mogu foe locked in jade in battle. And naturally you're like, oh, let's, you know, like pop him out of the jade. Well, it pops the other guy out too. So you got to battle that guy and so on and so forth.
Didn't the Monkey King blow away? That's all I remember. I was like, the Monkey King blew away. one of those like Cho or one of those guys telling you a story about how the wind like came. It's like,
yes, no, the Monkey King is an interesting character all in himself, and he just like seems to break all of the rules, and you're like, but he's in the Monk Order Hall, and he's later, I don't know. The answer is I don't know, and it's the Monkey King.
I got confirmation here. It's probably not like relevant right now, but
yeah.
Oh no, he's a great character.
Nick was saying yes, he did blow away, so.
There you go.
Nice.
So naturally, the Monkey King, being the Monkey King, he's like, I'm not gonna make it easy, here's three riddles. And so you have to go around and kind of discover what happened to the harmonic mallet, and it turns out that he shattered it into pieces and sent it all over, and you gotta go put it back together. Which is great.
Burdens of Xiao Hao, I think it was. Yes. Like that animated series that they did, that freaking amazing.
Were so wonderful. I hope they do more.
I think they've evolved, right? So some of it's turned into like the audio dramas, and some of it's a like full blown comic series, and you know, like But yeah, that particular one was super awesome.
I think that was really the first of the animated series, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah, yeah, the ones in Warlords, or no, Pandaria.
In Pandaria.
Wait, the Burdens of Xiao Hao? Yeah, okay. Never mind. I'm just getting confused. Okay. He asked the three riddles. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen
swallow? Awesome.
That would be perfect, except it'd have to be a griffin.
Yeah.
What's the airspeed velocity of a griffin carrying coconuts? Like, I don't.
Oh, wait.
In Australia? The future?
Yes. What is your favorite color? Okay, so
red. No, blue. No, definitely red.
I'm ruining this whole thing here. I apologize.
No, it's great. Okay. All right. So basically, the long story short of the giant adventure they put you through is that you find the harmonic mallet and you discover that Garrosh's forces are amassing in Emperor's Reach, which is kind of, I think it's in Kun Lai, if I remember correctly. It's somewhere close to the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. If memory serves, which, like, I just remember flying in on someone else's griffin. I was like, okay, getting taxed.
Yeah, it was up on the north side. I remember that much, yeah.
And so Anduin takes off after he has the mallet. He's like, oh my gosh, we need to, like, do this now. And you're like, dude, wait. Like, this is, we should do this together. And so when you get there, you're all hiding, if I remember correctly. You're like, oh man, like there's a lot of orcs here and this is kind of creepy. And so you witness Garrosh ring the mallet after he has this like very, you know, rah, rah horde speech, about their grand destiny, which was actually pretty good because it's a Garrosh speech. But, Garrosh goes on to say that he's going to use the divine bell to erase the weakness from the orcs, create, you know, a stronger horde, like, you know, orc purists. Stuff that he always talks about. So he rings the bell and his Korkron followers start to turn into Shaw, like these Shaw corrupted Korkron, and things kind of devolve from there, because his followers aren't really able to handle the Shaw magic, like, you know, just like anyone, like no one's been like, woo, look at me and this immense power that I can just magically wield. And so from there Anduin runs out and you're like, why would you do that? Like, stay back here where it's safe. You know, as the hero character, you're like screaming eternally. But he runs out there and he's like, no, Garrosh, like, this is wrong. And he rings the divine bell with the harmonic mallet, and it starts to, you know, like, you have to fight a couple of Garrosh's followers previous to this, but he rings the bell and it turns into this beautiful harmony, and Garrosh kind of sits there for like two beats just with his mouth hanging open. He's like, what the heck? And then he's like, oh, like, if you wrecked my bell, and he smashes it with Gore Howl and it lands on Anduin and crushes him. So, you know, there's the crushing pun. But honestly, I was horrified to watch poor Anduin get crushed under the bell because I thought he was going to die. And I got a little emotional.
Even as a hard player, you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, like that's the Prince of Stormwind. Like he's cute. He's a little guy. He's just like you make friends with him.
Banana hair, little kid.
Yeah, I even remember when that hit the PTR and stuff was getting data mined about that. You know, everyone was all, are they killing Anduin? Are they really doing it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember all that from Miss.
It's horrible. Yeah. So you get to witness that on both sides. And honestly, I feel like both, like any player should feel a little bad about that. Because when you meet him in the Jade Forest, even as a Horde player, you're like, oh, you know, this is kind of funny. Like messing around with the Prince of Stormwind, like, ha ha ha, we have you captured. And now you're just like, oh crap, like my faction leader just smashed him. And like, as the Alliance player, you actually talk about you picking up his broken body. And I was like, oh no, like Anduin's gonna die. I was like, there were tears. Literally, I'm gonna be real and manly. Yeah. There were tears. But from here, as the Alliance player, you go and take his broken and bleeding body back to his father, who is nonplussed, and his aunt, Jaina. She's not actually his aunt, but he calls her Aunt Jaina. And they're also very nonplussed about this entire situation. And they're both, you know, true to their faction. They're like, yeah, we're gonna swear vengeance against the Horde because they're all evil. And I'm like, but it was that one jerk that... Anyway. So later, Anduin, like this kind of takes Anduin off the board for a lot of Pandaria. Like he still kind of is able to walk around and stuff. But this is where he meets up with Rathian, and that's why he kind of sits around with Rathian for a good part of Pandaria because he's healing. So this is where they have all that cool banter. Because we still have a lot to get to, so I'm not going to relate all of it. But it's fun because you see their relationship grow where they both disagree about how leadership should go. But I think they learn a lot from each other as well, which is really neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, into war crimes? Any questions? Any thoughts?
I'm with you, though. The whole thing about him getting crushed by the bell was like...
Yeah.
It was in the moment. It was pretty gnarly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was one of the... Like, that, and then there was a very specific Legion moment that still... in Vel'Shara. Jerks.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about that.
Right.
Every time. I don't cry every time.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah. So, Taryn Gregory. All right.
So we have two more points that will lead us up to Battle for Azeroth, which the next one, which is pretty notable, is War Crimes, because that book basically focuses on Anduin and Garrosh. And if you haven't read War Crimes, I totally recommend it. It's a great book. It's actually one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's really good.
It really goes into a deep dive on Anduin and actually Sylvanas as well. So
yeah, I was going to say it covers a lot of ground for considering.
It does.
Yeah,
you know, considering the backdrop is just like the Trial of Garrosh, but it, you know, it's everything. It's, you know, it's Sylvanas, it's Jaina, it's Bane. You know, it's like all Anduin, all this stuff going on. So.
Yes, so hopefully my counterpart Nick will cover it because there's a lot of good Sylvanas goodies in there, and I will be upset if he doesn't mention them. As someone that's trying not to be Horde biased for once,
there is no such thing as Horde biased.
No. They're not flying a giant Horde banner behind me somewhere. Who does that? Who does that?
Cool kids.
All right. So we'll jump right into War Crimes here, which is, as we kind of mentioned, it's the Trial of Garrosh Hellscream. So this takes place right after the Siege of Orgrimmar, when everyone was disappointed that we didn't murder Garrosh. And this is when, I forgot his name, Taryn Zu takes him away. And this is kind of what leads up to it. And I'll be the first to admit that this book wasn't exactly what I had in mind for a trial, but it's just excellent. So unfortunately I can't cover all of it. But for the Anduin parts, Anduin is invited to the trial, which is kind of cool. And he gets to watch. Tyrande goes first and she starts to talk about all of the atrocities Garrosh has committed. Cause I should back up for a second. There are two characters that are said to be like, Tyrande is, I don't know lawyer terms very well. Sorry. Bane is defending Garrosh and Tyrande is trying to make a case against him.
So she's
the prosecutor.
She's the prosecution.
Prosecutor. Thank you. I was like, man. Bane's the defense. Yeah. I guess I only know Warcraft lore. Not really.
But This is what watching Law and Order episodes, you know, marathons on
A&E.
Yeah, whatever it is. It was like TBS or TNT or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. But seriously, like, this whole book is literally just a Warcraft
Law and Order.
Yeah. Yeah, you got all these subplots going on, and
yeah, it was really good.
It's really phenomenal.
Yeah,
yeah. But as far as Anduin goes, when he goes to the trial, so the trial is set in multiple days, and I won't go over every single day because it's kind of a summation here. But essentially, he goes the first day, and Tyrande talks about the savagery of the orcs, and she calls up Valen. And Valen is able to, I think he projects an image, if I remember correctly, but he kind of shows how the orcs have warred with his people and the atrocities that happened on Draenor. And that was kind of the first time Anduin's like, oh, wow, like, that was really horrible. Some really horrible things have happened to not only the Draenei, but the orcs have also done horrible things that weren't even on our planet. So that was kind of this awakening for him. And later he's called up to... Account what happened with the Divine Bell, or recount, excuse me, what happened with the Divine Bell. And Bane is questioning him this time. But what's really interesting, and again, this is kind of like a big point in Anduin's character, is, you know, he states very openly he doesn't want revenge against Garrosh. He's like, no, I actually think that Garrosh can change. I think he can be redeemed, in a sense. And he stands up for Garrosh, which was, I don't want to say it was surprising, but after all of the horrible things Garrosh has done, you're right. Wow, Anduin, he like crushed your body with a giant bell, and you're like, no, I think you can change. And I'm like, that's such an Anduin thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's very righteous. It was definitely more about Anduin's character than it was about whether or not Garrosh would change. You know?
Yes.
Maybe his innocence, I don't know what it was, but or his willingness to just try to see the best in people.
Yeah, and I think, throughout Pandaria, I had grown very attached to Anduin because he's very mature for his age, and also it just really sold it to me in War Crimes when he's like, you know, as much as Garrosh has done something horrible to me, I metaphorically want to turn the other cheek, and I want to give him another chance, even though he's murdered thousands of people and he's a horrible person. And another cool point in the book is Anduin actually goes to talk to Garrosh a couple of times while Garrosh is in his cell. Mm-hmm. And the first couple of times, the first handful, Garrosh is like, I don't want to talk to you. He doesn't say anything. He just kind of ignores Anduin. But eventually they kind of open up to each other, but not in the way I was hoping. Like, I was kind of hoping there'd be this buddy-buddy. And that was not to be, because Garrosh is mean and rude and unapologetic, which... Mm-hmm. No big surprise.
Because he's Garrosh. Yeah,
but in his own sort of way, like, they kind of connected, though, right? So even though, Garrosh is just still an ass, like, they still kind of, like, I don't know, there was something going on there that wasn't just, that wasn't typical, you know? I don't know. That's my takeaway. Like, somehow, like, I felt like Anduin was making ground with him. And if there had been more time, maybe, I don't know.
Well, and that's true. Like, I think... In some ways, like, we do see an interesting shift in Garrosh's character. Like, he kind of shifts back and forth between kind of seeming to relate to Anduin and then going back to being very stubborn and then coming back a little bit and then shifting back. And they kind of have these interactions, like their last interaction. Anduin goes down to see Garrosh the day before he's going to be executed because they kind of like, or I think it's the day before they're like, okay, we're going to, you know, decide what your fate is. And Garrosh's last meal is being brought down, and Anduin is talking to him. I need to back up a little bit. Anduin runs into Varisa in the hallway, and for some reason, Varisa's just like, "I need to tell you that Garrosh's last meal is poisoned." And Anduin's like, "Oh man, what do I do with this? Like, do I save him? Do I not?" And so he goes to talk to Garrosh, and Garrosh takes some stabs at Anduin that are very personal. He's like, "Oh yeah, like I wish that your mother had, you know, died while you were." Like, I wish the Horde had essentially raided Stormwind and killed your mother while she was pregnant with you. Like, screw you, Anduin. And he just takes some very, very personal stabs at Anduin. And Anduin's like, dude, not cool. But even throughout this, like, Garrosh is about to eat this last meal right after he said all these horrible things to Anduin. And Anduin kicks the bowl out of Garrosh's hands, which doesn't go well because Garrosh grabs his arm and he's like, like, why would you do that? Like, you know, very threateningly hurts Anduin. And then there happens to be a rat in the cell that starts to eat the food and then dies because it's poison. Mm-hmm. And so Garrosh sees this and he lets him go, and he just kind of like huffs in the corner. He's like, well, you saved my life. Whatever, I won't murder you here now. So Anduin leaves and he heals his arm. And I think that's kind of like the most, like that's their last true interaction there, which it's still interesting that Anduin still tries to save Garrosh even afterwards. And as you said before, that could have very well been the end, so we didn't have to do Warlords of Draenor, so it is all Anduin's fault.
You know, it's actually, it's that whole Rin family, because at the end of Myst, it was Varian who stopped Thrall from killing Garrosh.
That's true.
So it's those Rins. See? Alliance.
Those Rins.
It's the Alliance. The Alliance,
the Alliance
and the Rins.
Is solely at fault for Warlords of Draenor.
Totally.
You heard it here first.
All right.
So I guess just to wrap up War Crimes, the next day Garrosh goes up and they're like, oh, by the way, you're going to die, Garrosh, which we all know doesn't happen because he escapes. But he's very unapologetic. He says some really brash things and everyone's really surprised. Anduin, they go into that with Anduin, how Anduin's very surprised. He's like, wow, he's being a really big jerk for his last moment. Like, come on, dude. Like, really seriously. Exactly. And then Garrosh gets
whisked
away.
Dude, I saved your life, man.
Yeah, right? He's like, dude, what the heck? So, yeah, no, that's a very interesting. I won't spoil the whole ending because it actually goes into an interesting twist at the end. But Garrosh escapes, and now we have Warlords of Draenor, and it's Anduin's fault. And that's War Crimes.
Yep. I like it. I like how all of a sudden that whole thing is Anduin's fault.
Okay. Nice. Yep.
The episode
stupid
will be
little banana hair.
That's what I'm thinking. We're going to call it Anduin's fault.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So, was he in...
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have any so far. I was just going to say, was he in Warlords much?
Not really that I recall. Like, I think he might. No, I think actually King Varian is the one that shows up.
When we crossed over, like, a lot of some of the main characters kind of stayed back on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, like, right. Yeah.
Traditional Azeroth. So.
Yeah, we had Khadgar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Dadgar.
Dadgar. Good.
Yeah, all so right. there wasn't a ton of Anduin then in Warlords, huh?
No, because I think Varian's the one that shows up in your garrison. Because Vol'jin is on the Horde side is the one that shows up, and you're like, Commander, you've done all this great stuff, and I'm like, Vol'jin, yay! And then he dies. I'm still, it's still too soon. Years later, it's still too soon.
My gosh, yeah. Well, he's sitting around listening to like Bob Marley somewhere. He's good to go.
Okay, this is a little bit of an aside, but did you guys see the BlizzCon slideshow where they had Vol'jin? It's just like a bunch of like an urn, and they pointed at it. It's like Vol'jin's ashes, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Why? Right in the field. Come on, guys. So good. Like, yeah, Vol'jin will be back. Here he is. He's dead.
He'll be like a Loa spirit or something. He'll
mentioned something like that, so that'll be cool.
With the whole Zandalari troll, and I mean, we're digging right back into troll stuff again. There's got to be.
Yes.
Definitely.
All right. So we can almost kind of just skip the Warlord stuff then, right? And it leads us into Legion. Okay.
Which I would argue Legion is probably, at least it's a huge moment where we get to see even more of his character. And up till this point, they've been kind of molding him into the Anduin we know. But at this point, it's really interesting because we get to see a different facet, a very insecure side of him. And this happens right after Varian dies. As we know, everyone watched the super cool Legion intro where Varian's penning the letter to Anduin. Mm-hmm. And you see Anduin's picture in his compass. And that was a pretty heartful moment, even for me, even though I don't like Varian very much. But that's cool because, as you know, as we've been talking, you can start to see how they've affected each other. Like, this is the first, in my opinion, really the first time we see Varian has been affected by what Anduin's been saying. He's like, okay, you know, we need to work together with the Horde. I don't trust them still, but, my son is right. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole, for Azeroth thing. And I was yay!
That was an amazing, like, cinematic and scenario and everything that you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just still have a really hard time with, like, what was the point of Varian dying? Like, I don't really feel like he had to do that. And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the Bell Reaper jump and stab, like,
Yeah. Like, I mean, everything was kind of happening there, and, like, a bunch of people got away. I can't really say that, like, what Varian did was, like, he didn't, like, save anybody, I guess. Like, the airship was leaving anyways, and all it did was just, it pissed everybody out. Like, it made, like, Greymane all pissed at Sylvanas, and I don't know, it was kind of
weird. Hey, to be fair, Greymane's been pissed at Sylvanas for a long time, which is also Garrosh's fault. But
yeah. No, it's Anduin's fault.
It's Anduin's fault. Gosh, Anduin.
All right.
The entire state of the world is your fault.
So I'm not trying to take away from Varian dying. This was like, oh, no. Well, he's gone now, I guess. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, all right, we both lost faction leaders that day, so.
That was probably the bigger point, right? Like, give a little bit of a Game of Thrones treatment, and, you know, so we can kind of shock everybody heading into some new content. Yeah. All right, so where are we at with,
with
sorry, I just looked down and I don't think Missy approves of my...
Our horde bias is showing a little strong. They've been trying to wear a blue murloc to counteract it, and it's not helping.
All right. I apologize. For nothing!
All right, so Anduin and Legion. It's actually kind of interesting because initially you're like, okay, you know, we have Varian Wrynn going into it. He's very strong, and then he cacks, right? Mm-hmm. So what's interesting about that is I probably shouldn't start my Gen bias here because I really don't like Gen Greymane, but your Alliance player, like, you know, remember that when Varian's like, Gen, like, take this to my son, he gives it to Gen, and Gen's like, I will. And then immediately when you get on the ship as the Alliance player, Gen turns to you and says, take this to the prince. And I was like, are you serious, dude? Like, we just watched that scenario. You take it to the prince. He's like, no, I don't wanna. Like, that's not exactly what it was. But like, I can't face Anduin right now. And I'm like, dude, like, you just watched his dad die. Like, get your butt over there. So, won't go into that. That's the person that just went into that.
Awesome.
But as the Alliance player, you go and you give Anduin his father's last pen message, and you kind of, for the first time, you see Anduin just really upset. I mean, and which makes perfect sense, right? You know, he's just lost his father. You come back later after you find the compass that Varian dropped off the shore, and you give it to Anduin. And it's interesting because from here, you know, we kind of see that in a little bit deeper sense where Anduin's like, I have to take on the mantle of being king. I have not only lost my father, but now I'm the king of Stormwind and I don't know what to do. Like, this is a big responsibility that, I mean, I've been king before, but in a different sense, right? I no longer have that point of reference to look up to. And it's interesting because Gen relates to the player before you give the compass to Anduin. He's like, Anduin has not been himself. Like, he's been mopey. He's been quiet. Like, you need to go find out what's happening to Anduin. And so once you go talk to Anduin about it, he's like, I don't think this is, again, like a huge, to me, it's a huge development piece for Anduin because we get to see that very insecure side where he's like, you know, I'm the king, but I don't think my people, you know, like, I don't think they respect me. They don't believe in me. He's like, they all look up to me in a way, but it's, you know, they don't trust me to have their best interests. Mm-hmm. And so he disguises himself and you and him go through this little walk around Stormwind. And he listens in on some of the civilian conversations and they kind of echo that, where they're like, oh yes, we love Prince Anduin, we cherish him deeply, but is he strong enough to, you know, protect us from the Burning Legion? Because he's not Varian, like, you know, Varian's all like, gung-ho, let's smash things. And they're like, now we have this really peace-loving guy, which is great, but we're not in a time of peace. So is he going to be emotionally strong enough? And
right,
that kind of resounds in Anduin. So he's like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, maybe my advisors feel the same way, I need to go find out. So he snoops in on Valen and Greymane having this conversation where basically Greymane's like, he's weak, nah, nah, you know, kind of the echoing Varian. And it's not my favorite. But Greymane kind of has a similar sentiment where he's like, Anduin needs to be more of a warrior. He doesn't know what's going on the Broken Shore. He hasn't been there. You know, he's just a boy king. He's just sitting here. And as much as I want to respect him, he doesn't know what his troops are going through, so how are they going to respect him as a king? Mm-hmm. And Valen is much more tactful at kind of bringing this up to Greymane, because it's Valen, and he's more soft-spoken and more thoughtful. And so he's like, well, I agree, but, you know, if he's going to go to the Broken Shore, it's very dangerous. Like, if he's going to go there, we have to be really careful about it. And Anduin's kind of like, well, I'm just going to go anyway. Like I'm going to go by myself. And I'm like, that is exactly not what you should be doing. But okay. And so this is where you get the scene where you see him on the Broken Shore and where he finds Shalamine.
Mm-hmm.
And Gen is surprised to see him, and Valen's kind of like, kind of knew it would happen, whatever, like the cool, I don't know, gotcha. Valen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and
yeah,
this
he's like the cool uncle, just like.
He pretty much is. Like, he's just like, yeah, like, I probably saw this in a vision or something, but, like, you know, it's Anduin, man. Like, he's good. I like Anduin. It's all fine.
Nice.
I love Valen, so this wasn't meant to be a diss on Valen in any way. Just Greymane. So, anyway, I really should stop with the Greymane bias. I know people are going to get mad about it. Oh, Greymane's forces hold this Warden Tower. But yes. So, sorry, I saw that in the chat. I'm like, I've heard that way too much.
I know.
Love it.
I actually got this add-on for a little while just because I was so sick of hearing that. But then I realized that I kind of missed it, so I turned it off again. Because, I mean, Greymane's forces, all these Warden Tower.
Break the ranks, show no mercy. Yeah, I haven't spent awesome. Murking NPCs as a resto shaman, no less.
Oh, wow. Awesome. But, yeah. Hey, that's what those group add-on things are for. So.
Yes. Well, so I'll wrap this up real quick for the Legion bit. But so Anduin ultimately goes to the Broken Shore, and he finds Shalamane, and this is when he has the vision where he sees his father. So Shalamane, for those of you that aren't familiar, is King Varian Wrynn's sword, the one that, you know, in the cinematic, he splits it into two, and he starts smacking people, as he does. And he finds Shalamane, I think it's in two pieces, and it goes back to one. I'm trying to remember exactly how the cinematic plays out, but he picks up the sword and he's kind of talking to himself and he's grieving. He's like, Father, what should I do? You know, I don't know what to do here. I'm confused and scared. And this is kind of, I've never been in this situation. And he gets a vision from Varian that simply says, what a king must do. Like, you must do what a king must do. And then he goes away. That seems to be like this very enlightening moment for Anduin. And I think, again, it strengthens his character because we go, I think this is kind of, in my mind, the transition from the very peaceful Anduin to slightly more, not warlike, but more protective Anduin. Like,
Paladin,
all right, Anduin. Paladin Anduin, who's a priest. Still haven't figured that one out, but exactly. We'll get there.
Hacks.
Using a hunter weapon. Yeah, got it.
Hacks class. So.
Totally.
That's pretty much Legion. I did have one last quote that I thought was really cool that summed up Legion. So I'll read that real quick and then we can gab about that in BFA if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so here's a quote from Anduin. Yes, I changed my father, but he also changed me. Will that be enough for the Alliance? For Azeroth? It will have to be. There will be peace one day. So I feel like that really does a great job of summing up his character in a lot of different ways, especially coming out of Legion. So... that's kind of been Anduin in a nutshell for all the expansions.
Cool.
There you go.
it's been a big kind of evolution though, right?
Yeah.
It's like went from annoying little kid to like legit now, like a king that's like trying to, you know, take a proper stand and, you know, show some leadership. And so we've come a long way over however, you know, what since 2004.
It's kind of amazing to remember that he's only 18 at this point, so you're like, wow, you know,
yeah, that's kids growing up. That's the thing that I think probably, like, I didn't really consider going into the, at least this talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a kid, but, you know, he's been forced into, you know, a pretty strong leadership role, and with people like Greymane, like, kind of breathing over your shoulder with their own agenda and everything. So, do you feel like there's anything that you've seen so far in beta that's kind of given you any insight into Anduin at all? I don't know. Maybe I don't care about spoilers, but I think other people do.
Spoiler free. I'm actually trying to avoid the spoilers. I know. Like that thing that happened in Vel'Shara, I had that spoiled on our show. I remember that.
Oh, no.
It was Anne. Oh. We were good with it. I think Rob had already known.
at that point. But yeah, I was like, yeah, spoilers.
I know. So I actually,
everybody,
like, I know I jumped into your guys' stream and listened to the last bit, but I didn't listen to the after you guys finished talking about Torin washrooms and where I had jumped in. I stopped listening to that because I knew you guys were talking about spoilers. I'm like, no, I'm going to try and save it. Like, I haven't. Even if I do it in the beta, just so I can experience for the first time myself. So I have the beta, I just haven't played it yet. So I might have to do that before something gets ruined elsewhere. But anyway, so keep that in mind and answer Rob's question.
All right. Well, Rob's question is really easy to answer because I've played the Alliance thing only as far as the scenario.
Uh-huh.
And then okay. I'm like, Horde! So...
Yeah.
All right. That's fair.
I say it seems like Anduin... At least from what I've kind of seen and kind of snooped around in, and I could be totally wrong on this, but it kind of seems similar to the Horde in where you see your faction leader in the beginning, you go through the scenario, you see them a lot, and then you're just like, da-da-da, new continent, see you later. It's like Draenor 2.0 in that
way.
And
then you're off killing boars and collecting pig poop and whatever.
All that good questing.
There will be a fecal quest at some point, so...
I mean, there has to be. I mean, the Nagrand too, like cherries.
Yep.
Nessing Wary quests. I'm like, no.
Oh, man.
No, not Nessing Wary. You go show up again. I'm like, get out.
Oh, I'm man. Sure but like the Wrath of the Lich King Nessing Wary ones that were like, hey, kill 5,000 of these things before.
And then go kill the leader and kill 5,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
What are your expectations for Anduin then going forward? Are you kind of hope that we're gonna get something special, or do you like where he's headed? Or
so I do like where Anduin's headed. I have a lot of theories about the old gods in this next expansion. So
yes.
If I remember correctly, I think it's the knife, the priest knife, that actually says like the boy king will offer up three lies. And so I think if I'm remembering that correctly, because I know that Magni also has been telling untruths in some ways. So there's a lot of people that like, and I apologize because I don't have the exact wording, but I believe it's like I think the boy king is like sitting at the table and he will offer up three lies, I think is what the wording is. But even if that's not correct, what?
We have internet. Let's see.
Ah, thank you. Nick got it for me. The boy king sits at the master's table. Three lies he will offer you. So it's kind of hard to imagine anyone else being the boy
king. Well, yeah.
As we said.
Wait, he's that the youngest. Like that? Two truths and a lie, and you have to like guess which one. And Anduin's like, my dad is super cool. And you're like, nope, that's a lie.
I prevented Warlords of Draenor.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
I did my best to prevent
Nice. That's awesome.
No, but from that line, I have a lot of like interesting, I don't know, I wouldn't call them hopes, but in a lot of ways, I'd actually like to see Anduin be manipulated. Like, not in a bad way. Like, I don't want harm to come to him, because... It's got to be tough. He has Gen Greymane and Valen on his shoulders as like his shoulder angel and his shoulder demon. So, you know, they're barking in his ears and he's like, okay, like, you know, I agree with Gen. We need to be kind of aggressive, but I also agree with Valen where we need to try and find a higher road for peace as well. And don't forget he has Jaina, who's like, Jaina's like, kill everything. And you're like, hold on, Jaina, like sit down for a minute. And then he also has, well, probably sort of Varisa and then Illyria as well, which they're all calling for Sylvanas's death. So, I think on his side, it's a lot of turmoil, and I think a lot of the faction leaders may be yelling a lot. And I don't know if it's like it's going to be this unified, like, oh, the Horde is horrible, we should exterminate them. But I'm not sure, you know, there's some of the events that are unclear leading up to events that happen in Battle for Azeroth. I guess I can say the burning of Eldrazil, because that was said at BlizzCon, but we don't actually know how all of that happens. I'm like, oh, spoilers, like, has someone not heard about that? I'm like, there's pictures of a tree burning. It was not.
I know that BlizzCon last year, they handed out that preview of like one of the chapters of the book. And this is not even data mine stuff at this point. This is very much straight up like, hey, this is happening. So
yeah, exactly.
Yes.
About that at all.
So I'm really excited. I basically hope this will be a very old god intensive expansion coming up. So I think
I think so.
My like little prediction. My prediction is that it's kind of be like Pandaria, where it's like, oh, like hoity-toity, like let's go play on the continent a bit, mm-hmm. and then we're gonna get into like what actually happens with like Garrosh and the Shaw, and then eventually it's Siege of Orgrimmar at the end. So,
yeah, I know this has come up several times, but yeah, but, you know, like, the whole battle for Azeroth thing isn't like looking at it in terms of like not really Horde versus Alliance battle for Azeroth, mm-hmm. but literally battling for Azeroth because
yes.
we're yep. going to lose. Yeah, the yes. whole that you know the planet as a whole, totally. I guess, kind of thing.
So totally that would be thinking. Rad.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to like jump into. I don't know if either of you read the Magni comic that just came out.
I haven't no. yet. Okay. It just came out like that. Yesterday or a couple within the last few days.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I won't. So. Yeah, I just haven't had a chance.
I haven't yet. Read the other one either, so I need to do that.
All right, well, that's your homework. Both of you already know.
Yeah.
But I think the Magni comic will play into exactly what you're saying. So
ooh, nice.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
Man, I had this app on my phone. What the heck was it called? It was like some sort of thing where people were taking the comics and kind of like making them 3D.
Made Fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and kind of like adding motion to them and stuff like that. Like nice. It was way cool. And so you would just pop in there, download the latest one, and you would kind of like it was like an experience like reading through it.
Yeah, that was really cool. I remember.
I'll have to see if that's on there or not. Yeah, they did that with all the Overwatch comics and stuff.
Yeah, and I remember for the Suramar comics, they did that for sure with that one as well. The beginning stuff for the Suramar.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Daryl, do you have any other?
I don't think so. Like, this is exactly what I was looking for, though, because I didn't, like, there's bits and pieces, like, because, yeah, you know, I've read some of these books before, like the, you know, War Crimes and some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely seen his character develop there, but I kind of forgot a lot of that stuff. And then, you know, anything that wasn't in the books or those books specifically, I don't mm-hmm. know it. I didn't know it. Like, even that, the last part in Legion, because I remember there was, so I can't even remember what patch it was, but it must have been that. Was it Charlemagne? Or his sword, mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a quest that Alliance got that Horde didn't, and I didn't know what it was, and I never looked it up. I never bothered, but I just knew there was something that they got that we didn't. So
I think that was the general consensus, to be honest.
Yeah. So now I know what it is. And no, this is perfect. So this is a good lead in to Battle for Azeroth and where we're going with Anduin as the current faction leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm really excited, honestly, to see how he's going to like either change or grow or like he's a really interesting character, and I think he's really evolved over the last couple expansions. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm looking forward to his reunion with Rathion, which I hope will happen because where the heck was Rathion this expansion?
Yeah, where's he been?
Yeah, man, that was an awful lot of groundwork for it to just like
not happen
because he was prepping us to fight the Legion, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then where was he? When we fight the Legion, he's nowhere to be found.
Unless maybe it wasn't the Legion, it was something else.
I mean, it's possible, although like the raining down from the skies, like the fire and stuff, looked very Legion-y. In War Crimes, though, he technically sided with Garrosh, but we haven't, as far as I know, we haven't heard from him since. Like, someone had claimed that he was in Warlords of Draenor, but I did the whole quest and I never remembered.
He was in, originally was in some of the High Mountain quests. Or the one where you go through the cave and you come out the other side, mm-hmm. kind of facing Suramar. I think he was in some of that content, like at the very end where you were watching all those visions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am 99% sure my first time through beta on that, he was in there and they stripped that out and, you know, made it a more high mountain-y kind of thing there. Sure. But yeah.
Yeah, the last thing that's hinted at is Ebonhorn's like, oh, I need to go deal with my family. Like, I need to go talk to my family. And you're like, well, the only black dragons that I really left is Rathion. So Ebonhorn will presumably go and talk to Rathion, which I'm excited for that family reunion because Ebonhorn could really even out Rathion's like, yeah, let's like save things by destroying the planet. I'm like, not quite Rathion. I love you, but. Man. A little less gas on
you
the
know,
pedal.
You can picture that relationship. Like, if you ever watch that show Lost, like towards the very end, like the Jacob and the, you know, the Man in White and the Man in Black kind of thing, you know, like this kind of weird relationship where they're, you know, Rathion's kind of just being wild and like just messing with everybody. And then Ebonhorn's is like, nah, man, you gotta knock it off. You gotta be cool, dude. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool. I don't know.
That was a little bit of a roundabout. Sorry. But Rathian's cool. And I'm hoping that Ondamin and Rathian will get to catch up again. Because
I like Rathian a lot. Like, he did some weird stuff, but like, I like
the Thunder King's heart. He's like, I'm not. Like,
oh, yeah.
Dude, like, oh, why would you do that?
Oh, hey, thanks. Like, it's a freaking apple.
I was like, I thought you were going to put it in my weapon.
Bro, come on. Yeah.
Nice. All right, well, I think that's probably a good place to end it then. We'll just leave it there. All right, well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Katie that you've heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD. And since we are streaming shows live now, you can head on over to twitch.tv/thetrainingdummies and follow so you know when we fire up the stream.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob. Just list all your shout-outs so I can say ditto and we can move on.
Oh, man. Katie, of course, thank you so much for coming and hanging out and talking Anduin. And just, like, not having any bias, just being honest about Varian being kind of just hot garbage. And always Daryl, dude, thank you so much. You've putting together the show for tonight and for next week. Everybody in the chat room, thank you so much. Definitely brand new patron, Missy, thank you so much. It's freaking awesome. Daryl, what do you got? Let me keep it short.
All right. All right. Well, Katie, of course. This was great. This is exactly what I was looking for. And doing kind of an Anduin recap. You mentioned Missy, a brand new patron, but we also have another one. Big shout out to Cody. It's another brand new patron. We really appreciate that. It's really appreciated. Anyway, can't say that enough. And our tech guy again, Joe, coming through at the last minute. On our last show, we had someone watching had realized we had a spelling error. It wasn't even a spelling error. It was a word missing from our tagline.
Yeah, just some grammar.
Yeah. So he was able to fix that up here before the show and get that all good again. So thanks, Joe. And Katie, do you have any shout-outs this evening?
Well, I should shout-out to Nick, who's been in the chat, who's been dropping little stuff for me so I don't look like a total crazy pants person up here. And I guess I'll shout out to our Torrin and the Goblin podcast, which is our lore podcast. So if you like hearing me talk about lore and you also want to hear Nick talk about lore, who's absolutely great, you should definitely feel free to tune into Torrin and Goblin. It's on most platforms. Nick usually does all that stuff. So that's me just be like, yeah, it's on places and things. And I sound really prepared.
Yeah,
yes!
It's super. Just go to Twitter or what have you and just look up Torrin and the Goblin. We talked about at the top of the show, Katie did the Druid episode for our Stay Classy series where we recapped all of the Druid class stuff throughout Legion, and Nick did the Death Knight one, which I was openly biased to throughout the entirety of the series because it was just so stinking good, but yeah.
Well, and in relation to that, so we had Katie do the Anduin this week. And next week at same time, Thursday, Nick will be on the show and he's going to do Sylvanas for us. So really looking forward to that one.
And there will be no bias at all. It's just,
none. Absolutely none. Not. We don't do that. We're not the Torrin and the Goblin. That's not a horde bias.
No.
Goblins all right. Can
those,
be neutral, right?
Those are allied races, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gadgets and Goblin. Totally.
There you go. All right, well, before we wrap this up, Katie, where can people reach you if they have more questions about Anduin or anything else?
You can usually find me at HyruleMaster77 on Twitter. I love lore questions, so please come and pick my brain. You might get an essay, so I'll try not to if you don't want it. But there you go. So please come and ask me lore questions if you feel like it. You can also find me at Touring Goblin. That's our official podcasting place. So if you have questions or you want to hear about any specific kind of lore, we had someone ask about kobolds, so we did a whole kobold episode. Feel free to drop us any questions because we love to talk Warcraft lore.
Well, that is it. That does it for episode 110. 210.
210.
Wait, when did we hit our 6-year?
I think it's like next week sometime.
Yeah. So yeah, I think
I might have to look. Like the first one, I think, yeah, it was like June 2nd or 3rd or somewhere in there.
Dude, congratulations. You guys should have brought confetti.
6 years. Don't let the episode number fool you. We take breaks when we want, but yeah.
Yeah. There was a year we took off. We took off Thanksgiving, so the time between Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving, we took that off.
Yeah, yeah. And Daryl takes off summer sometimes, so there's a kid like 2 or 3 months. you can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. Don't we? We're on Google Play.
Oh, no, yeah, I copied old notes. Sorry. Yeah, Google Play, too.
Yeah, we should be on all the all your favorite platforms, and if not, just give us a shout, and we'll pretend that we're gonna do something about it there. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time,
it's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Well, who can blame you? Thanks for all the love and support
at patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training,
dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?